Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Christy Rose, and I'm the co-host of Mental Acumen here on Freedomizer Radio. I was trained as a health coach at the world's largest nutrition school, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I want to support you on your journey to a healthy mind-body connection. I believe the healthcare system is broken, and we need to play an active role in improving our health. We need to take a proactive approach to wellness. If you've struggled to lose weight or to maintain your weight, please consider reaching out to me because I was trained to look at people as individuals and to address the whole body and mind at once. Our bodies are more intelligent than our minds, and they try to scream for help in ways such as depression, acne, and fatigue. I can help you using natural, holistic methods to get to the root issues and decrease or eliminate symptoms. I offer a free initial health history consultation, so please visit my website for more information or to schedule an appointment at coachchristie.com. That's coachchristie.com.
I want to tell everyone about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal. Flip-flops are the most worn shoe. Even in America, almost everyone wears cheap flip-flops during the summer, sometimes even all year long. It's because they don't want to wear shoes, but there is 60 years of social stigma to overcome. Most people think it is illegal to drive a car, go to a store, or eat in public without shoes on. The fact is, there are zero laws, health department stuff, insurance regulations, etc., about going barefoot. Not only that, it is actually safer and more healthy to go barefoot than wear most shoes that we have been wearing for the last half century. Please check out the website barefootislegal.org and check out all of our social media. Going barefoot is safe, healthy, and legal. Barefootislegal.org.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolli, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolli, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
Hello all, welcome to this fine Saturday afternoon. This is Barefoot is Legal Radio, a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. You can find us just about anywhere. We have our website, it's barefootislegal.org. We are on Facebook, Barefoot is Legal. We're on TikTok, Instagram. You can find videos on YouTube. We're virtually everywhere. We are here to encourage, empower, and inform folks who are either just curious about or want to live the barefoot lifestyle. On the rights, legalities, and, different ways of going about attaining that for yourself or for someone you may love or care about. I am the host, Audrey, with my co-host, Miss Phoenix. We're here every Saturday. I am if you can't tell by how I sound, I'm fighting a cold right now, so hopefully we make it through this today. We're feeling a little under the weather, but we got this. From the looks of things, Miss Phoenix doesn't feel 100% either, but we are here for you guys. If nothing else, our rambling conversations provide a little bit of entertainment for you. Hopefully we do more than that, but, you know, bare minimum some days. We will also, later on in the episode, we're going to have a guest speaker. Guy Felix will be calling in. I just got that scheduled recently, so hence the not much / any really advance notice. And I'm going to talk to him after the show, too, about coming back on in a few more weeks to kind of promote it better. But those of you who have been listening know my brain does what my brain does, and I apologize for that part, but we will hopefully still have a good show. I've been, it's chilly here in Ohio, low 30s, upper 20s. I looked earlier, and I, honest to God, I forgot what the thermometer told me, so I just know it's cold. I personally am still not putting shoes on. Miss Phoenix, I think, has a couple times because it's been cold, and not to share her info. Sorry, you go ahead.
I was just going to say that it is currently 32 degrees, but the feels like it's 21.
So yeah. Oh, I know. It's cold. I'm bundled up everywhere else, but my feet were fine, personally. Like, I one of the comments I actually just recently got on Instagram was how, like, they think it's, you know, the winter, and I'd never do it in the snow. That kind of takes the fun out of blah, 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 something. I'd have to look it up again, but I was just like, for
that's
me, it's refreshing. Yeah.
Experience.
And that's what I explained. I said, well, then that's you. I said, but I don't not enjoy it. Like, my feet are the point now where literally, like, whatever the weather, I go outside and I'm fine barefoot. Like, it doesn't really affect me one way or the other yet. So I'm just, but, I mean, if you don't want to go in the winter, then don't. Like, again, this is about choice and empowerment and information. It's not about do it, or, you know, anything like that. Like, it's,
yeah. Well, I think it's important to keep in mind that, you know, people's opinions, although opinions are different, they are all, and maybe not necessarily in every case, but regarding barefooting, you know, within the barefooting community, all of those perspectives are right. You know, for you, snow adds a challenge, a push, and, you know, Audrey sees a challenge and, you know, goes, oh, I'm just going to charge at it, you know. And that's not an insult, you know, but that's just, you know, the type of person you are. So, you know, to you, the winter, the cold, all of it is a challenge that you look forward to, you embrace.
Mm-hmm.
While for other people, it's just miserable. For me, the cold is absolutely miserable. I mean, sometimes it helps for, like, the inflammation in my feet if they're too inflamed, which I'm thinking about going out at some point and doing that because it does help. But pretty much every time I've gone out, I mean, the sun's barely been up most of the time when I am leaving the house. And of course, it's like the cloudiest, days when I've been leaving. And it's not like where the buildup is snow, but it's like that flurry. Like, I mean, like,
mm-hmm.
The other day I was walking out to my car and I was barefoot. And I mean, my car said it was below 32 degrees already. And then I didn't have to put my shoes on because just walking to my car. Like, there was, like, hail snow on the grass,
sweet,
where it was, like, solid and hadn't melted yet. My feet were freezing. I mean, it was to the point where I literally, like, my feet were painfully numb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was like, oh, this is, like, a no. But it was also below 32 degrees. So no wonder, you know, why that happened.
For me, I mean, the sun is never out when I go to work right now because I have to be in so early. But, I don't really think about it anymore. I get clothes on, I get out the door. Like, that's my day. I don't even think about shoes.
Yeah, well, and everybody's different. And, you know, just for me, it is just too much. I mean, the cold is already, you know, making my hip issues worse with my osteoarthritis.
Right.
And with my fibro. And even though, you know, we both have fibromyalgia, like, everybody – you know, does show it differently. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is different. Everything is just a spectrum. That's the word I'm looking
yeah.
for. And
there's no right or wrong way.
Yeah.
There's no one way to live.
Yeah. And barefooting itself is also a spectrum, but you know, and you know, there can be illnesses that are a reason why, you know, multiple people need to barefoot, but their own barefooting journey, their own journey with their illness or whatever is going to be different, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's been a lot. I mean, I've been noticing like how, you know, wearing shoes more when I've had to has been adding to, you know, pain in my feet, inflammation, some sensory issues. It's been a thing. Truth is, it's been so cold that my feet are so painfully numb that, like, at least for me, that I feel like my shoes haven't been overstimulating, like, when I'm outside. Because
right.
it's, like, my feet are so numb. It's, like, I feel like my feet are so cold through my shoes. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
Especially if I go out to the car first test. I kept doing that a couple of times. And, I mean, I was definitely pushing myself.
But the fact that you're pushing yourself more
yeah,
to
like,
do it more this year, so people telling you,
yeah.
like, you don't make it as long as I might. Like, you're still trying to see what you can do.
Like, the other day, I know I went to the gas station barefoot at night, and my feet were freezing, waiting for my gas. I was like, just keep going. But it was, and at this point, again, like, the sun's down. My car is already saying it's below 32 degrees. Who knows what the feels like is because the sun's down
yeah,
at this point.
Yeah.
But I was just like, you know, one of those things where you do kind of keep pushing yourself. But, yeah, it's been so cold lately. Like, that I don't even think I realized, even always, too, like, how cold it is.
Yeah.
And then I had to remind myself, I'm like, it hasn't even gotten up to 40 degrees the past week.
No.
Like, no wonder
no,
I'm
but
cold.
I think the warmest it's been the last week when I checked is, like, 36 degrees, I think.
Yeah, and 32 is freezing.
I know this morning, though, the coffee I actually left on my porch was ice. So, I mean, it's that cold.
I had to bring my plants in, finally, but yeah, it's definitely, we're in a weird adjustment period, and I'm sure, too, like, I will start to adjust more before it gets too cold, but at the same time, like, trying to, you know, listen to my body and remember that, like, I have to do what's best for me, like, and it is frustrating, because it's, like, barefooting is something that helps. But, like, the cold is, that's my kryptonite.
Counterproductive.
My cold is always in my kryptonite, you know, like, it's already starting to, you know, affect my body. Everything is tightening up, you know, like, it's been affecting
my body.
I
don't want cold. I would hit it when I had my PT on my knees and then I'd ice them after. I'm like, you're legitimately murdering me and you don't even know it.
Yeah. Well,
but, like, obviously that's not going to actually kill me, but I hate cold, but, like, for some reason, this last couple of years when it comes to my feet, it's, like, it just doesn't bother me. Like,
well,
the rest of my body will be frozen stiff, but my feet are, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, well, and part of it's also, you know, even barefooting for, like, 3 decades, you know,
long time.
But also for you, I mean, you could just have more, most of your inflammation could be your feet, because ice does help with inflammation.
Yeah.
And so there are times where even in the summer when it, or in summer into fall, like, fall period when it gets really, would get really cold at night compared to during the day, like going outside at night for a little bit. And sometimes even then it'd be too cold because we'd drop down or be like, you know, 80s during or higher during the day. And then drastically it's like, oh, it's like 55,
40
at night.
I know, which a lot of times feel like a refrigerator, but obviously still not a food safe temp, but it feels like it.
Yeah. And so going outside at night, especially since I do like to take pictures of the moon and things like that, I'm actually probably going to rub my feet right now because there's a lot of attention. We even store a lot of energy and trauma in our feet. We're going to talk about that in a second. But, you know, even going out at night and touching on the grass, like, you know, would just really help with the inflammation in my feet. And so it's like going outside for, like, you know, for a few minutes, you know, does help with the inflammation. I'm sure it would, as long as they go out while the sun's still up, you know, for a little bit.
Right. And even if you're a person that, like,
is a gung-ho shoe wear, even that few minutes, you know, a day can be beneficial to your health and well-being.
Yeah, and so it is still refreshing, but, you know, the cold, that's my kryptonite, you know, and so it's very frustrating. So it's like, you know, I am put in a position where I can, you know, recognize how it's, like, okay for my own self, like, you know, having to wear shoes. But there is still that frustration of, like, I don't want to wear them. I don't want to live in a place that's cold right now. Like, I'm already ready for summer again.
I'm going to pack up my bags and move south or west or
anywhere warm.
I don't care.
You know, just put me in the middle of nowhere.
I told my husband, I said, and my cortisol, I said, I would live in Australia with spiders as big as my face if it got me away from the snow. Like, I would rather deal with that than
and I think people, you know, can hear that too and be like, oh my gosh, you're being dramatic. But I think for
maybe
people who also have chronic illnesses that the cold messes with, or
just
even
because I'm dramatic doesn't make it wrong.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, and even with barefooters, even if you don't, you know, have, even if a barefooter is having chronic pain or things like that, even just the frustration of having to cave down and wear shoes, you know, it's frustrating. It's like, I don't want to deal with it.
It's the roughest time of year for barefooters, honestly.
I just want it to be anywhere between 75 and 90 degrees right now.
Did you see they're getting like 4 feet of snow up in Buffalo, New York, dude? I was like, I'm like, dying. At least I'm not there.
I know. I'm like,
Lord, I would cry so much. Then I'm sure even I would cave even then.
Yeah, when you saw 4 feet of snow, like, I feel like it's kind of, is it really caving, though, in that
point? But, you know,
I just
wouldn't ever leave the house. I don't think I'd be able to open my door.
And actually, yeah, 4 feet of snow, I might not be able to open my
door. But, well, yeah, see, so I'm still good. I still get to stay there.
Yeah, and that's where I'm like, it's the time of year, because I am... One of my neighbors I'm friends with, and I made a comment. I was like, girl, the other day, I was like, girl, it's getting too cold to even go. Come over here.
Yeah.
It's like a 2-minute walk, literally, not even, you know, even for me, it's a 2-minute
right,
walk, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, it's getting too cold for this. Nope.
And, yeah. When I went out to get my car,
yeah.
And my neighbor was on the porch. She was like, girl, you still don't have your shoes on? I said, why would I? Why? It's cold.
To you.
I'm sitting there, what's that got to do with my shoes? You know, obviously,
yeah.
I know
what
you're saying, but, like...
Yeah. I mean, I probably gave you crazy, too, even just for me.
It was that,
like,
it was
the
other
word,
like, actively, it was actively snowing when I was out.
Okay.
Like, what are you doing? I'm like, getting ready for work, what are you doing? Like,
I'm
going to work my job, what are you doing?
There's multiple times this week where, like, to go wear my car out, I've tried to test my limitations, and I'm like, oh, my God, it is cold. So I probably get a little crazy, too, but that's not a judgment. That's just out of, like, what are your feet made out of, girl? Like, come on.
Even though.
Because I really do wish, like, and the thing is, I mean, y'all can't see, but I'm sitting here rubbing the tension in my feet, and, you know, I've been dealing with.
Well, and for the record, anybody listening wants to say I got a cold because I'm going barefoot, that can't be true. A, because germs cause it, not feet, not temperature. Mm-hmm. And my husband wears shoes all the time, and he got the cold first. So, boom.
Yeah, and it's like, well, some people, you know, forget that.
Then you got sick because you don't want to have shoes. I said, no, I got sick because of germ in my body that couldn't fight.
Yeah, temperature, you know. Differences, or, you know, when a reason why that starts is because, like, you know, some of it can weaken your immune system when your body is at proper, you know, temperature. It can, affect your immunity and your immune system and how it's operating.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're somebody that's already, you know, adjusting to the cold or something that doesn't physically bother you, then it's clearly not going to adjust or affect your immune system, your body's temperature enough.
This cold has hit my husband so hard. He's like literally spent all day hitting the doctor. He spent all day in bed, low grade fever, whatever. And I'm like, I feel like crap, yeah, but like it's not hit me hard like that. So because barefooting can boost your immunity as well, though, because your body starts fighting off more and being able to fight off more. And when you're grounding, you've got a healthier body anyway. So barefooting, and if you think about it, if you look at just this one situation, it's helping me fight off the cold germ better than him who wears shoes all day long, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's because you're, and like that's what I was trying to say, is like your body is better adjusted to colder temperature.
No, absolutely.
So it's less likely to throw your immune system off into like some kind of, you know, chaos,
viral
thing.
Yeah.
And. But another thing, too, you know, I've been reflecting a lot on, you know, I am a spiritual person, and, you know, I just have a lot of people close to my life that, you know, do come to me for, you know, spiritual advice or guidance or help or on different levels. And a big thing, most people don't realize is how much trauma we literally store in our feet. And when you get into chakras or just energy centers in the body, and there are, you know, even Tai Chi, different, there's so many different spiritualities that, you know, have these ideas of energy centers through the body and the energy working its way out. And, you know, you can get blockages, your natural flow. I mean, I would say that everybody's natural flow, unfortunately, has been, you know, kind of blocked and limited, you know, through the ideas of conformity and social norms. And, yeah, I mean, pretty much. And, you know, because it's like we're all, you know, disrupted from embracing our natural flow through conformity, social norms, hatred, you know, tactics of division and trauma and fear-based thinking, unfortunately. But that's not, and so a lot of us, you know, can hold on to and have negative energy, you know, sort of in our bodies that isn't necessarily evil energy. It's not conscious energy. You know, it's not the same thing as having, like, an evil entity feeding off of you. You can just have negative energy that is generated from emotions, traumatic events, and trauma is anything that disrupts your central nervous system. You know, so something that may have been too much in disrupting your central nervous system, overstimulating even to the point that it was disrupting. You know, at the time, that may not seem like much to you even or to anybody else, but it was still traumatizing. It was still something that affected your central nervous system. Car accidents, you know, severe illnesses, near-death experiences, like, you know, those are all traumatic on top of so many other events that people already recognize to be traumatizing. But unfortunately, there is a lot of stuff that people, I feel like, don't fully recognize because we've been stuck so much in fear-based and trauma-based thinking patterns. And that's just as a society, as a collective, you know, and nobody's needs except for maybe the 1% are truly being met, you know. Everybody is struggling. Unfortunately, others are going to feel that more than others within the system, though. But our own emotions, our own anxieties, our own depressions, our own fears can generate negative energy. And these are not conscious energies. They're not necessarily entities. In the way that people think of like demons or angels, you know, they're not conscious. It's just build up of energies. You know, you have to think like, you know, protons, electrons, neutrons, positive, negative, and neutral energy happening. That is kind of the same thing with our own energy that we create and we produce, or we can create positive, neutral, and negative energy. And so, you know, this isn't evil. This isn't necessarily intentional. It's not conscious being, like I already said, it's just negative energy particles that, you know, kind of build up. And, you know, traumatic events definitely can leave that in our body, but our own emotions, our own negative experiences, just bad things that happen, toxic relationships, you know, things like that, you know, can leave an imprint, can leave an energetic stain almost. And we can absorb other people's negativity. You know, when people are jealous of us or project their own fears and their trauma on us, that still leaves an energetic, you know, stain or energetic impact. And that's not the same thing as leaving an impact on your soul, though. You know, right.
Your aura, your energy, but not your soul.
You need to cleanse your energy anyways and your soul.
So it's not something that you need to worry about or like, oh my gosh, you know, my soul is at risk. Like, no, it's just, you know, energy that can be stored even on a physical level and psychology and, you know, kinesiology is also starting to show, too, like, how our bodies react based on trauma symptoms. You know, things tense up, things lock up. We get,
you get
muscle blockages. You know, your lymphatic system, which is, you know, how everything drains in your body, can get blocked. Your pituitary gland can get blocked. Your endocrine system can get blocked. You know,
that
trauma disrupts everything, you know. You know, trauma is just anything that disrupts your central nervous system. And we have to think that anything that disrupts your central nervous system, which starts at the very end of our brain, which is connected to our brain, and runs throughout our entire body, that's going to affect very complex systems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have to think that we're multidimensional beings. So, you know, things can happen on the physical level as well as the energetic level, you know, with electromagnetic field energy. And chakras, you know, your feet or your root chakra is the key. It's, you know, your trauma, your early childhood, your inner childhood, you know, a lot of your early life stuff that you may not even be consciously aware of or fully processed. They have just pushed down, either consciously or unconsciously got pushed down, you know, can get stored. And, you know, when we're holding on to things, you know, in our subconscious, you know, we have to forget that that does affect our body, because most of our central nervous system is unconscious, automatic functions.
Right.
Like our muscles, our breathing, you know, our blood flow. Those are things that happen automatically, unconsciously. So you have to think, too, you know, trauma is stored in the unconscious mind, and think about how traumas and things like that may be affecting your unconscious mind and then thus those unconscious functions, you know, so you can get lymphatic, you know, drainage blockages, pituitary glands, and, you know, in spirituality, your pituitary gland is, you know, which is recognized throughout the body. It's connected to your sweat. But, you know, it's connected to your root chakra and your third eye chakra. But your pituitary gland is also connected to your armpits because, you know, it's connected to your sweat. And so there can be, you know, disruptions that do occur, you know, from anything that disrupts your central nervous system, whether you recognize it to be a trigger or a trauma or not.
Right.
So, you know, I have to think that our bodies, our muscles, you know, they hold on to these things, they react. And if we're not letting those things go, we'll have a lot of tension, a lot of added stress on our bodies, and stress deteriorates. And, you know, and I like to think of stress too as just negative energy or just things that I'm not letting go of. And so if you're going to, you know, focus on releasing energy from your body, you actually want to start with your feet. You want to start from your feet, your root, and work the way up to your crown. And, you know, because your feet are your foundation, they are your root. And, you know, which to me sounds like common sense because you really walk on them.
Right.
But I think a lot of people don't think about it, especially since, you know, people that aren't barefooters, because our, you know, natural state of flow, our bodies, our emotions, the multiple dimensions to ourselves, we have been, you know, disconnected from it, disconnected from that knowledge, disconnected from listening to ourselves. And it's really important to reconnect. The moon is actually in Virgo right now, which is connected to Earth's energy, but grounding and the mind-body connection is very key. And intuition, our gut health is very key at this time. And so a lot of people, you know, intuition can work its way through the gut. And that's why a lot of people, you know, their intuition, they can literally feel sick or it's literally a gut feeling because it's connected to your digestive system for a lot of people, especially people with Virgo and Cancer placements, because those are directly connected to the stomach. So, you know, I've been doing energy clearings and releasing for a lot of people close to me in my life. I plan on opening up my services wider at a time, just kind of really unpacking and getting rid of that, you know, stored energy in the body and that trauma. And so, you know, when you do that, the best place to start, and I'm going to wrap this up real quick, the best place, you know, to start is through your feet. You want to really take the time to unpack what, you know, what's going on your feet. And so, you know, massaging helps break up, you know, those things. But, you know, different, you can use, you know, crystals, you can use incense, you can use different smoke bundles. I tend to make my own from, like, herbs that I personally use. And so, you know, there are ways, you know, to look into it. If you have any questions, you can find me on the Venetian Phoenix and ask Manny, but, you know, your feet really is the start of releasing trauma and negative energy throughout your body. So I think, and I just encourage people to give more love to their feet and to kind of just unpack that, you know. So I think it's really important to keep in mind that there is a lot of spiritual connection to people's feet. It's not just energetic. It's not just about mental health. It's so much, so multidimensional.
There are many aspects to it.
Yeah.
Real quick, we are going to run a brief ad break, folks, and we'll be back. It looks like we're going to be calling in now. We'll come back on here in just a couple minutes and introduce and have a discussion with him on barefooting in different places around the country and different things he has done. So we will be back in just a couple minutes, folks.
Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming fruit shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67%. With grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Why is the world in the state that it is in? Do you need certainty about things in your life? Your health, your love, your marriage, maybe your diet or politics? Join us here at 5:30 Mountain Time on FreedomizerRadio.com as we give you all the answers. and we will expound upon subjects that we know everything about, and you will learn how to laugh, love, and live.
What is wrong with you? Have you been reading Hallmark cards or hanging around at Bed Bath & Beyond?
What? It's an ad. Okay? Ads don't have to be truthful, all right?
Why do you think you have all the answers?
Well, I don't, okay? I just say that I do. That way people think that you're smarter than you really are.
And that's going to make people want to listen to you more? What if they find out you're a dum-dum?
You're a dum-dum.
Join us here Monday evenings at 5:30 Mountain Standard Time as we search for answers together on Mental Acumen Radio with Donald and Christy Rose on FreedomizerRadio.com.
You hurt my feelings, dum-dum.
Sorry, folks. Okay, we are back here with Barefoot is Legal Radio, a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. You can find us all over the internet. We're on our website, barefootislegal.org. You can also find us on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, you know, anywhere you generally social media, we're probably there in some form, shape, or form. Currently, I am about to pull on, I think I'm going to anyway, if this works with me today. We have a guest speaker calling in. Fiddle. Are you there? Is this guy?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great.
It's Guy Fieldsprout. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, close enough.
You know, I do what I can.
Yeah, no, all good.
Yeah, how have you been doing lately?
Good. I just came back from 11 weeks, 2.5, aka 2.5 months. Round country trip, which has been my dream for over 20 years, if not more. And I did almost all of it barefoot.
Yeah.
All the driving of 17,500 miles that I did was barefoot,
yeah.
Which is
I mean, I'm sure we've driven that many miles here, but just maybe not around the country on a vacation.
Yeah. And then,
cool.
And I did most of the, sometimes when I overdid the barefoot hiking, I put on like my Keens, but I did most of my 33 hikes barefoot and visited 30 national parks barefoot.
Nice.
Wow.
That's awesome.
What were some, like, the parks you went to?
So I started from New York, where I live, and I went to Acadia National Park, even though I've been there, and I passed through Cape Cod. And then I went through all the northern states, peeked into also North Dakota. And then I reached the West Coast, and then I went down the West Coast, but I zigzagged most of California because it has so many national parks, which was my main focus.
Okay.
Also I towed with me a 25-foot trailer and two dogs, which were not a trailer. yeah, and I zigzagged a little in Utah, but it got a little too cold, so I had to, like, get out of there because I didn't want my pipes to freeze. And then
right.
I went down through the South, skipped Texas because I didn't have time, but I've been to Texas. And then I did the Panhandle, Florida, all of it, and then peeked into South Carolina, North Carolina, Kentucky, West Virginia, Virginia, and back.
Nice. That sounds like an awesome trip.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And, you know, every I got no problems in any gas station. No one cares that you're barefoot. I mean, people look at you outside as you're, you know, putting gas barefoot or taking the dog to pee. But no one cared, even the ones that had the signs like, you know, no shoes, which weren't too many, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, I'd fuel 2 to 3 times a day because the trailer sure took its toll on gas.
I'm sure it did.
So I always would kind of like try to, because I didn't want to confront after also sometimes driving 8 hours a day. So I'd just make a beeline to the once a day, to the ice cream box, you know. So the car would get gas, the dogs would go out and pee and I'd get ice cream. But yeah, never, you know, wasn't an issue. And one gas station even had like a moccasin shop next to it, but they didn't have like what I needed. So it was really cool.
Yeah, that sounds like it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, and you said you do 30-mile hikes barefoot?
I did over 33 hikes and 30 national parks.
Okay. I was about to say, I wanted to make sure I heard you correctly. So, so I was like, that sounds like a lot of walking. Like, I could not imagine. Okay.
I was like, where did she get there?
No, you're good. over 33 national parks, 33 park hikes, and then 30 national parks.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I did I use this app called All Trails, which is awesome. The hikes would be anywhere between 3 to 7 miles, sometimes turned out 8, sometimes more.
Oh.
And even if I wore, like, my Keens, you know, some kind of a shoe. I had also my ground shoes, my sandals, but California took care of taking one of them on one of my hikes, so I only have one now. It was really cool, especially when I could go barefoot, to connect to nature all over the country in this way.
Yeah, that is my favorite. That's what I told my husband I want to do is I want to visit all the national parks.
Yeah.
And 3 to 7 miles definitely sounds way more enjoyable. I was going to be like, how do you get fun out of that after a while? And I wasn't sure because I know you've talked about, you know, performing in Ironmans before, so I wasn't sure if maybe that was like, you know, like a training thing because I know some people that are like, oh, yeah, like, I just run 20 miles while I'm training, and I'm like, you ain't going to catch me running a mile. I mean, my back issues, my hip issues are definitely a part of it, but still, I'm like, I don't think I have enough air in my lungs for that.
No.
To do run 20 miles. So I was just curious. Where would you say your do you have a national park, would you say, or?
Yeah, I get that question a lot, and I think it's a – I don't want to say a wrong question. I didn't train as much. I ran a little bit to answer that. There's different favorites. And also how to answer how it doesn't get old. You know, the scenery, especially in the Southwest U.S., Southwestern U.S., is so mesmerizing. And I was also pleasantly surprised by Washington State that has so many different climate areas you pass through it. I thought it was more like the Northwest and the beach, but it was a lot more. So I really like deserts. I really, in South Dakota, I really liked Badlands. And in South California, I really liked the Death Valley. But, you know, Grand Canyon is mesmerizing. Yellowstone, in my mind, was just way too crowded by people, which wasn't, like, what I was looking for. But, you know, they all have their... Joshua Tree is such a funky place. Utah is so crazy with its different scenery. I was surprised by, like, Northwest Florida, Pensacola Beach, and it's, like, it's white sand beaches, and, you know, so it's so wherever you are in the country, because you can drive anywhere between a radius of 2 to 15 hours, you're bound to just go into some beautiful places, you know. So that's like my greatest takeaway. And you can do it barefoot or, you know, as the winter comes, you can do it with moccasins, which I just got off the same website, but mine got a hole in it after 2 years. the soft souls. So now they got ones, and I'm really enjoying that, or going to enjoy it when they come.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. That's my favorite thing to do, is just be out in nature. So,
yeah.
You know, that would be a dream trip. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and now I tell people, like, you don't have to do the whole country in one shot. You know, you can do an area or just buy a smaller trailer, so you don't need a humongous truck. And my truck was by no means very big. It was Toyota Tacoma to tow. And then you can really see a lot and carry your own house with you, kind of like an upgraded tent.
Yeah. That'd be cool. I love camping. We, when we went out this past summer, when we went out to Colorado Springs and then out to Vegas and whatnot, you're not kidding about, like, the just drastic, like, different sceneries and weathers and stuff based on where you are, just like even when you're close. So it can be so different. And desert views are definitely mesmerizing.
Colorado, you know, going for the first time, I really didn't barefoot, but keep in mind,
I did the whole
Actually, looking back, it would have probably been safer to barefoot at the national parks than it was at where we were staying.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was staying, So me and Audrey had gone separately, so but kind of together, it was weird. So it was a family thing. There was a wedding going on, and so my sister, my cousins, who I'd gone with at the time, we had all gone to an Airbnb, and, you know, it's Colorado and it's June. And so when I got up around like 7, because it's 2 hours behind, so to me, I was like used to getting up at like 6 at the time anyway in Ohio. And so, you know, 7 being 9 a.m. there, I was like, whatever. So at 7 a.m., it was like 70 degrees, not even, barely pushing.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the actual 9 a.m. came around in Colorado, it was like 90 degrees freezing at 9 a.m., you know, which we get that now and then. But the deck patio for like the outside, because it's kind of like an overlooking deck, it was hot. Like, I was walking around in like 95 degree weather on asphalt in Ohio, but this, like, balcony by 9 a.m. was burning. Yeah, and you think, too, with the higher elevation, you know, like, anything that's just sitting in the sun is going to, you know, be more exposed to that heat with the higher elevation. And so, looking back, it probably would have been safer for me to barefoot the trails than even the patio, because, I mean, it got to the point where I was walking out there barefoot in the morning, and then it got to the point where I physically couldn't anymore. Like, it literally felt like I was standing on hot coals. And it was just so weird to me, because I was going from, you know, walking on 95-degree asphalt in Ohio, and I'm like, what? You know? And so, looking back, I wish I had barefooted the national parks more, but the desert scenery was just so beautiful to see wild succulents growing.
Well, we had found some sand that was so fine and so smooth. It was like walking on a cloud.
Okay.
And it was sand. Did you find anything like that out there, guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Like Indiana Dunes, which is on the Michigan Lake. Lake Michigan is so gorgeous and clear. So that was awesome. And surprisingly, actually in Utah, in Zion National Park, the sand is so weird. I actually looked at them weird back, because I was like, you have no idea what you're missing. If you have no idea.
Oh, yeah.
You're wood shoes, like I'm wood shoes many times, but you're just like walking on the earth, where you could walk in the middle of a basketball court, a mall, or here, and you wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah.
I do. You know, I can feel the difference. I can see and feel and sense the difference of the earth. Same thing happened to me with the Iron Man. I think I told you last time, people didn't realize they were like running one of the finest sands, because it was a side of a creek, you know, so a bed of a creek. So it looks like people don't know, because they don't go barefoot. So how would they know, you know? So.
Exactly. And then they, you know, you do something like that, and you put yourself in shoes. You're missing, people don't realize
Like, it's a completely different world you're missing out on. You know, like, everything is just so different when you can't physically feel it, and all you do is see it with your eyes. You can only guess what it feels like. But when you've got your shoes off, you actually know what it feels like.
And that's why I wish, honestly, that I had kind of, you know, just been less hesitant to barefoot in Colorado, you know, but it was a new environment.
I mean, this is the first time I'd been to the state. That's the most west I've probably been now. I had been to South Dakota when I was, like, 5. I absolutely loved it. I want to go back. But, you know, so it's like I don't travel very much, and so I was very worried, especially after the patio being decked. Being so hot at the Airbnb, you know, going to these national parks, so I was a little more worried.
Yeah,
but I wore these, like, super flimsy sandals. Well, the ones we went to were mostly, like, rock and ground.
We probably went to the same ones as Denver.
Yeah, so a lot of the ones, I don't know, I know where I went to, there wasn't really that much sand. It was mostly sharp rocks and climbing.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely did some more of, like, not like off trail, but kind of more of like the rougher sides of the trails in some of these parts. So there were definitely situations where I think wearing shoes at the time were better, because I feel like for me, my barefooting, there was a huge transition for me from June to October.
Yeah.
And so this being like the beginning of June, I think this was kind of the start of a big transition. So there were definitely some things, because even wearing my sandals, I think this was part of why I was able to take them after that, was I got a succulent cactus needle, I don't know, from walking, ended up in, like, my toe, and then I was like, I'm top guys, gotta, like, cut it out.
I ended up with a bunch of cactus prickles in my foot. I just sat down and picked them out and went back to it.
I ended up with like two or three tiny ones, and so at once. And so I think that was kind of very hesitant for me, because my fibro was really acting up at the time. Now looking back, and it was just such an unpleasant experience.
Right.
I was like, oh, I don't want to make it worse. And you know, and it's so easy to be scared of a new environment. So I wish that, you know, I had definitely been more of like, just ripping my shoes off. So I think it's really cool for you guys to like, I barefooted this much in a different state or around in the country. So I think that's really awesome, and for sure. And I don't know. I don't really have much else to add to that, but I just think that's really awesome to be able to kind of just break free and, you know, just try new things and be able to see the world in a different way, because barefooting is definitely a very much, like, deeper experience with nature than you can find with your shoes on.
Right.
Yeah, I'd say that it's so learned definitely through this trip when I walked on a lot of gravel, or I walked every day for a few miles, which is not something I'm used to. It's good to diversify. That's why now I have, like, grounding shoes and moccasins, and it's okay because you still stay grounded, and then when you stop you can just like take them off. I can say about one experience me on my birthday, even though I'm posting kind of a little backwards on my social media, on my Facebook and Instagram, which is, by the way, The Body spelled out and then MC, like master of ceremony, that I was on the edge of the Grand Canyon after the bus and after the people, which is where I usually try and walk, like beyond all the noise and the people. And I just, you know, I had my shoes off and I, you know, I listened intently to the quietness and I gazed all around and I like tasted the air, so to speak, and smelled everything around. And it was so overwhelming because I've been working more on intensifying my connection to my sense of touch that I wept. You know, it was so strong. It was like a sensory, almost to say, orgasmic experience, you know, because it was so strong.
Yeah.
And I really feel for people who don't try it, who don't get that experience. You know? Really, like, everywhere is the same. And I'm like, well, that's the difference. Because I spoke to world travelers, and a lot of them go, yeah, and I felt the same at some point. You know, it's another hill, it's another valley, it's another this, another that. So I really tried to sensitize myself to every place and its uniqueness, even like the non-famous national parks, or just any trail, and it made a huge difference for me. So, yeah.
And that's awesome.
That, and yeah. I like to choose something like when I go hiking, because like where I am, there's several hiking trails, and I'll like go on the same one several times, of course, because that's what's close to me. And I try to like each time I go, make it see what, how is it different than the last time, you know, feel how it's different than I was there before. So I like that.
Yeah. I also try in the beginning of every trail, and since we're on part of the weird group, might as well advertise weirdness, quote-unquote weirdness. I start almost every one of my trails with, like, touching a big tree or just a significant troll member of the neighborhood, as I call it. And I say, you know, in my heart, mind, I say, you know, my name is Guy. Come in peace. Thank you and your friends for your wisdom and knowledge. And blessings, amen. And I said like three times, and I've gathered like, I don't know, 40 wisdoms from around the country from these, like, you know, these quantum physics slow down matter members, you know, be it trees, be it stones, mountains, you know, they're there, you know, and they don't move. They don't.
I'm constantly touching two and talking trees. I'll admit it. I'm always.
Yeah. So it's like it's a very different. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying one time I was taking a rest while I was in the middle of a hike, and like some people were walking by, and I looked and I said, I'm actually literally standing here hugging a tree. I'm a literal tree hugger right now. Like, I realized what I was doing, and I'm standing there hugging a tree. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's
Well,
it's a different experience, like, not to perceive ourselves as, like, you know, the masters of the universe or the masters of this planet, but to humble ourselves to that experience and to know that there are many other things and beings and presences and whatever around that if we are not so full of ourselves and we're a little less vain, then other things can approach us on that level, which I find miraculous, honestly. So
it's crazy how you literally can, like, if you're really focused on it, you can feel like the connection in everything.
Yeah,
you know, even just feeling a tree in one spot, you can feel what it's like somewhere else, or what it's been like in the past, or, you know, different things. It's incredible how everything's just connected.
Yeah, that was my focus. I mean, the national parks, what's beautiful about them is you get to see how it was. And then a native friend of mine said, yeah, that's how it was, minus the natives. I was like, yeah, exactly. And
right.
Another experience, I even went to some, like, Fuji Mountains, I think it's in Ohio, or just, like, native sites really drew me. Like, another part that really surprised me were the Dakotas, especially South Dakota, where the strength and presence of the natives is so strong, and also the trauma because of the Trail of Tears and they're being banished there. But I can really feel and see, like, in my mind's eye, or just my imagination got sparked, or maybe I even saw, I don't know. Doesn't matter, like, their garb. Like, I would see, like, 7-8 feet tall, you know, beings going around, because when they were fully dressed with, like, eagle feathers and all the other regalia, I mean, they were, like, out of this world being, you know, out of a human.
Right, right. Yeah.
And so seeing that
Crazy
Horse Memorial, which is, like, the native, so to speak, Mount Rushmore, and it's near Mount Rushmore, actually, which I didn't go to. But Crazy Horse Memorial is such an amazing way, and it only highlighted for me as being a barefooter and going, like, no, I want to do things my way, and I'm allowed, because that's my right to see about freedom and to see all the things that were denied and the history, and not to deny history, not the native history and all its trauma in this country, and not the black history as I drove through, say, Mississippi or Alabama. And I just saw the movie Till,
right.
You know, that, like, took place in Mississippi and historically, and I think that once you are, it's gonna live and let live, but you gotta live first. So when you live, then you can go, like, okay, and let live, and and feel the trauma and accept the trauma and say, okay, so what am I doing about it? And how can I let other people live and embrace the past with all of its horrific things and move forward?
Right. Kind of,
but I don't think it can happen until we ourselves are free.
Where I missed that word. We ourselves what?
Free. Because up until we're free, we always blame someone. Well, I can't do this because they did this or they did that. And you go like, no, I'm fully responsible for myself. And when I am, I can take responsibility of how I deal with things now. Rather than,
you can take better responsibility for, your past mistakes, but even for your future and current self. And, often, people take on responsibility of other people without taking on the responsibility of themselves first. And then it causes, negative relationships because, what can start out as innocently helping and taking care of somebody can turn into codependency very quickly, where you can actually end up hurting that person because rather than caring for them, you're making them your responsibility is a coping mechanism related to you not taking that full responsibility for yourself. And we often, tend to make other people responsible for our own emotions through our relationships because
we're not fully
responsible for ourselves.
You may be
because we're not happy and it's because we're not living by our own permission. We're living from permission or based upon permission from these people we've made our responsibility and then we can't be happy and it disrupts our natural state of flow. We become self-alienated. And what you're talking about, how you can feel like the trauma of the land and thing in history that's happened, I definitely think that there's a lot to that. I think that, trauma definitely impacts an area and you can feel that. But when people ignore it, again, still self-alienating, still trapped in disrupted flow rather than your natural state of flow, it creates bigger problems. And, even in this country, we have so many emotionally charged and politically charged situations because nobody has really collectively sat down together, not arguing, not yelling at each other, and really just processed and unpacked the trauma, because we, and even if your ancestors did horrible things, you weren't there at the time to do anything about it, but how can you be a part of change in the future and in inviting healing and inviting in a system and an era where we finally don't have all this crap anymore, But the only way to have this is to take responsibility for ourselves, what we've been taught, all the crap in our head that's been ingrained in us, dismantle the crap and just focus on love and healing. And that isn't to say to be weak either and just let people walk all over you, but to focus on patience and love and healing so that way then we can actually deal with these things. But the only way we're going to deal with the trauma in this nation is to take responsibility for what it has, put onto us, whether it's, people learning, hatred and having to dismantle that or the trauma that it has directly, affected you in, a more emotional way or in any other way, like we have to make ourselves a responsibility so that way we can heal, And like you said, let live. First part is to live, or live.
Mm.
Yeah, and so I think that a lot of things in our world would be different if everybody would just come in and just drop the ego defense mechanism, stop arguing, and just listen and be ready to be receptive to have those conversations about how we can love and support each other collectively, rather than all the hatred and the pain, dismantle it, throw it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can say another thing. No, it's all good. I think that, or I felt really that because I was more in tune with the land, when I passed, when I was like on Washington, New Hampshire, I heard from the wind like things that would sound weird to me, but they're not now.
And then, funny enough, or not so funny, when I passed through New Orleans, which is below sea level, or when I was in Florida and seeing the crowded barrier islands, I was like, and I heard about Miami, and I dealt with also with disaster zones through my work and taking teenagers there. I was like, yeah, okay, you know, you might want to build and rebuild, and you don't care. But the message is clear, like the water is rising, which is not uncommon to this planet every 10,000 years, either water or fire, because there's a disconnect from and a disconnect from its messages and a disconnect from how things actually are, no matter the cause or the political arguments. That's minor to the facts. And the land was like, yeah, you know, it's happening. Whether humans care or not, or what they do about it, or how high they raise their house, is not
right.
The planet's case, because it's like it's happening. So it was very disconcerting to see that, to feel that, to know that, and yet again to see that building continues in South Alabama on the shore like there's no tomorrow, and Florida, and you know, all the rest of, as the hurricanes pound, as the sea level is rising, and it's like, okay, well, whatever.
and
it was tough.
Okay, we're here. Yeah, no, for sure. And the problem is not enough people are trying to listen. They think that, you know, they want to play God.
They're
going to
last forever and nothing bad can happen. Yeah.
Whatever, but I mean, to think that you have control or say so over an entire planet is kind of arrogant.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't understand the corporate, and you know, I hate to even say it, but the colonial mindset of land, you know, it's connected to these corporate ideas of land too, where it's just like build up, build up, build up. It's all about money. It's all about control. It's all about status. It's all about how we look. And it's like, okay, but can we just stop for a second? And what
pretty
about
sure a worldwide flood is not going to have any bearing on that.
Happy. What about being happy? Because the thing is like, if we would focus on being happy, being healthy, being safe, you know, being understood, we wouldn't have all these corporations and corporate greed and, you know, all of this pollution and probably along, you know, the shore so much, you know. There would be a lot more harmony in general, and it's like people need to understand that, like, we need to be in harmony with nature, not against nature, you know.
Not been something to conquer.
And it kills me how so many people look at indigenous cultures as primitive, because if anything, they're incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
To be able to live very naturally with the environment, you know, today, you know, there is, you know, more advancement, you know, of course, too, even within indigenous cultures. I'm not going to, you know, say that there haven't been any advancements and things, but, you know, if you think, like, when, you know, colonial people and other horrible people that came over to this land first, you know, doing horrible things, don't really, you know, all that.
Focus.
They, you know, it was a very different world. And so, you know, Europe was coming from already starting to experience industrial booms and things like that, and was already starting to pollute and work against nature, and coming to a land and looking at people, oh, you're primitive. But then why did so many of you, you know, Europeans, why are so many, did so many die? Because they didn't know how to work with nature. They didn't know how to live with nature,
yeah.
And they ended up needing help. And not because the terrains were that different from the parts in Europe they were coming from. It was because they were never taught how to work with the land. And without, you know, buildings and structures that had already been there before their time, a lot of them didn't know how to survive. And that's a big issue that we're seeing within our world, is a lot of people don't know how to survive and work with the land. They only know how to survive and work against nature and isolate themselves from nature, because, you know, we look at nature as brutal and ruthless, which is true to a degree, but, you know, I feel like I hold the belief that, you know, Mother Nature is brutal when Mother Nature has to be. Like, look at the Dust Bowl. people were overusing and over just abusing the land so much for profits and for greed that the land was no longer fertile. People weren't working with nature. They were abusing nature. And, you know, nature did what nature does. And so my point is that a lot of people don't know how to work with nature. And that's why so many people are against barefooting, really, is because so many people don't know how to work with nature, to embrace nature, to live in harmony with nature, to welcome it, to be a part of it, to be humbled by it.
Right.
And instead, they're too busy with their own complex and trying to play God, honestly, or something, whatever, you know, higher being, like, you know, to be able...
It's a human conqueror
better.
Mindset.
Yeah, it's... Yeah,
but,
and then
I think that would be an awesome trip to do, to like see what he did with doing it barefoot and being able to travel and like just feel the different lands.
And even just feel the history. And I'm sorry if I'm rambling so much, but I feel like we see a society that is so just heavily ingrained in conquering, overcoming, abusing nature, and, you know, being a god over nature, of some, you know, some idea of this, and this just inflated ego, this sense of worth, rather than just taking the time to be humbled by nature and be humbled by your smallness. So for me, I find a deep peace in my smallness when I'm with nature. I find a deep peace in that alignment, and it's like, cut the crap. You know?
Yeah, well, it's nice knowing that muffin, even if I make a really big mistake, generally, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that bad.
You know? But I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense, but I just feel like, you know, in the Western world especially, we're just seeing a lot of this working against and abusing nature, and then we wonder why our world is in the state that it is, you know, and why we wonder why there's so much pollution.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me,
but,
making the trip, like, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say she's a rancher and a raver like I am.
Yeah,
okay.
In this trip, I tried to, like, get back as much as I could to neutralizing myself and statements, and I finally found a way to get away even from the, you know, positive or negative, because that already bears judgment, and that's not just semantics,
right,
it's language that's good or bad or positive or negative. And I really found these two words, constructive and deconstructive, to be a lot more useful, because fires in the West or everywhere else, you think, oh, it's negative and it's bad. No, you know, the plants that come afterwards and the grass and the animals that come for the grass rather than the trees don't find it bad. Or if humans come together to build something or acquire, that's constructive. So once you start to look at it as constructive or deconstructive, we humanize, like, planet Earth is, you know, can be vicious or volatile. No, it's planet Earth. It does what it does. You know, it's a reaction. It's an action and reaction. And if we overpollute, then we are deconstructing and creating chaos rather than building something. And so this way, it helped me a lot to look at a lot of things in my life, including barefoot or wearing shoes or not, which is, you know, not the matter, really. It's about freedom, and it's about self-governance. That was like, okay, am I constructing or deconstructing? That's all.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I like that for sure. You know, I definitely agree, and I always say to people, you know, like, creation and destruction are neither inherently evil nor divine good. You know, it's and some things are neither. It's very neutral. And so I think that's a really good way of looking at it, is construct and deconstruct, because, you know, the connotation with destroying creation, you know, we have such strong ideas on that. You know, it's like, as a collective, when we hear those words, the connotation, I think that's a really great, refreshing way of being able to put it. So definitely.
Yeah, and just I listened even more to, like, all kinds of podcasts and philosophy, but to an extent, because I like to do, not just to talk. And I really, like, fell in love again with this whole notion of Spinoza, which was a Jewish philosopher that was like excommunicated and had so many issues, because he says, you know, God is nature. That was his thing. And some of the things he says till today are controversial in, you know, monotheistic religions. And it was amazing to just see how simple it is. It's really very simple. I didn't say easy. I didn't say, comprehensible very much, but it is simple. And in the simplicity is the true power, because it's not overbearing and it's not complicated. It's just, it is what it is. So
yeah,
that was very refreshing to me, at least.
No, yeah, that makes total sense. I agree with that. It's funny how some of the simplest things can be complicated.
Yeah, and it's like when we want to complicate things, that's when the trouble starts, you know, where when we kept it simple, then it wasn't so, like, you ask kids, and things for kids are very simple. They don't overcomplicate things. They don't second guess stuff. They just go with the flow. They just do what it is, and then it's done.
Yep.
So it's very childlike, and it's interesting. Even back now in the East Coast, where I'm barefoot a lot, people are like, "Aren't you cold?" And I'm like, "Yeah, but it creates great circulation, and I can feel the earth, and it's not such a big deal." I mean, places are warmed up. I mean, it's not suicidal.
Right.
So it's like, again, it's thing we get back to over and over again, because people themselves are limited. They want to limit you, but not too far from it. They do. They go like, how can you do it and I don't? Well, you just decide not to, and I decide to. So that's really the difference.
Okay. Exactly. It's like you said, it's not good. It's cold. It's not good or bad. It can be constructive in building up your tolerance and improving your circulation and in your immunity, or, you know, it can put you in a really crabby, bad attitude, which would be deconstructive. So it just depends on the person and the situation to boot. You know?
And it's like, yeah, I do it, and it works for me, and then I get cold, and then I get warm, and then I know that the capillaries, and as I've learned to say, in my toes, which are the furthest from my heart, get good circulation, and then I get better health, and then I'm healthier. So that sounds to me like a good idea, but, you know, it's like I feel that a lot of times in our culture there's a deep desire, like, I want to be healthy, but I don't want to eat healthy. And I don't care where my food comes from. And I want to be comfortable all the time. And I want things my way. But I want to be healthy and I want everything good. And it's like, well, you didn't put any effort. And you didn't do anything. So where do you think it's going to come from? You know?
Yeah. Like, people just think because they exist, they deserve to be comfortable all the time.
Yeah, well, and
not how life works.
And it's one of those things where I feel like the issue with entitlement isn't necessarily the I deserve. Because, like, we can all be like, I deserve, you know, I deserve this. You're right, I do deserve this and that, blah, blah, blah. But it's about, okay, are you willing to put in that work so to create that life?
Yeah.
Or do you expect everybody to just bow down and hand it over? That's the difference, because you can know your worth and know what you deserve and not be entitled. And it's just taking the time to just remember that you can't grow outside your comfort zone.
Right.
And that's the thing. And so if you think you deserve better opportunities, the only way to get them and create those better opportunities is to step outside your comfort zone.
And go
for it. If you don't do that, you didn't do step one. Sorry.
Right.
Good luck.
You can't skip to step 10.
Yeah.
Be done.
Yeah.
It's the same with it. But people, like, how do you do it? I said, well, I didn't start running on gravel. You know, I walked on the earth. I walked on the beach. I walked on grass. Same with running. And I got used to it. It didn't, like, spring on me. You know, I didn't do an Ironman the day before I decided it was a great idea. I did it for 2.5 years beforehand, that it came natural to me. It's like,
It's a natural progress. You can't jump the situation unless you're very dedicated and happens to you, and that's what you do all the time. But otherwise, yeah, you got to put in the work. I mean, shocking. That's just how it works.
Exactly. Like, you know, me, I start with a goal. You know, you can go start with a goal of wanting to be able to do, I don't know, 50 squats before you have to take a break. But if you don't start with one, you'll never get to 50, you know.
Yeah.
You can't just do it and then quit and quit and get mad because it's hard.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take you off.
And for me to drive around the country in barefoot and the dog and the trailer wasn't easy, but I said I had to let go. I was like, look, my overall goal is to see the country. Okay, great. If I can see some nature, great. If I can see some places, great. I didn't get to do everything everywhere. And people are like, did you do this? I'm like, no. And I was like, I had to come to terms. And when you come to terms, which I think is such a better expression than surrender, when you come to terms with things, you're in a good flow with them. It's not it's not a battle anymore. It's not such a struggle. It's just like, yeah, I came to terms. That's what I can do. That's possible. And that's it.
And set off to do something that you've never done. You don't know. You can think you know how much time it's going to take, but you don't. Like when we went out west this past summer, we thought we were going to be able to do a whole lot more than we could, but then the reality of being, you know, two adults traveling with four children, we didn't get to do everything we wanted to do either. I promise you that. But there's like, it just takes longer than you think it will sometimes, and other times it's like, it's just not feasible. So just people don't give themselves enough credit for, like, I didn't want to do this, I didn't
also
do that.
I find it's also the beauty of it, though. Like, when you don't know that it's going to take this long or you don't know that it's going to work out this way, and then it does, and you go, like, actually, awesome. I really enjoyed that, or that was good, or I didn't expect that. Like, what happened to me in the Dakotas? I was like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever, South Dakota. But then the whole Native presence and other things. So if you're, like, open to things.
Yeah.
I think that's what bare feet teach me a lot, because it's like you don't know where you're going to step, literally. So people ask, how do you do it? You've got to be a lot more conscious where you step. It's that simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
exactly.
You got to watch where you're going. Not a bad idea in general to watch where
that's true. That's one of the big things in my class that I tell my students, you need to pay attention to where your body is in relation to friends and things.
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. I'm saying something, but I forgot what it was. Oh.
Ow. I think it's really hard for a lot of people tried to peg me in one way or another, and I refused, and I still refuse even to peg myself, you know, which is harder one way or another. And I find that when I don't, I actually free myself a lot more than I thought I would or could on that level.
Yeah.
So that's very liberating to me.
Definitely. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I am.
There's so much to cover, you know, when we talk and get into each other's words, because we're so sympathetic and empathetic and on the same vibe that it's hard to someone who hasn't done any of it what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because We've done the work.
I
you do
the
work.
Time.
That's what happens. Yeah.
If you don't put in the time, you get the reward. Yeah. Well, then half the time I say something. We've been talking about people are like, you're nuts. I'm like, yeah, I'm crazy, but I'm a safe crazy. What's your point? You know.
Yeah. No, it's like when people said you're crazy with the Iron Man, when I broke it down, all my process, all my research, all my YouTubes, all my self-trial, you know, their jaw dropped, because it wasn't just, you know, it didn't spring out of my ass. You know, it was like, no, I've been there, done that, and I've done the work, and I've done the research, and you're seeing what you're seeing in an hour, 17 hours that it took me, is years worth of work. I'm just making a huge shortcut in how I explain it to you, but otherwise,
you're just seeing the
process.
Yeah, you're just seeing the end result, but that's just the end result. It's a lot more than that.
It's like in my preschool class, the one thing that we do process art. It's about the process of getting to the end, not the actual end of, like, what you end up with. We don't do, like, set structured art. We just provide the materials and see what they'll do. It's about the process, not the product. You know, and it's just like that with the with anything you do. It's about the process, not the product. You know?
It's hard. We live in a culture that expects everything now, and everything's instant, and everything chewed out. And when you go, like, no, it's going to take you a few months of square feet to just be able to handle it, and people are like, no, then it's okay. Whatever. No need.
Right.
Forget
it. Well, I'm guilty of it, too, when it comes to big watching something. I'm like, man, I remember when this used to take months to get to the episode.
Yeah, because the natural order of things is not fast. It's gradual, and it's processed. And so if you put your consciousness, you do a lot of things that way, it does become faster. But you got to actually slow down to do that. So it's all... Eventually, you've got to slow down to do things. So, yeah.
Yeah, true story. Yeah. I'm actually looking at the time, right? So we are coming up on the end of the episode. So I'm going to have to close up for now. But would you be interested in coming on in a few weeks, maybe sometime in mid-December, to do another episode?
Sure. I'm actually moving back to my birthland or homeland. I can now call it back again to Israel. Bringing those messages there. It'd be interesting. I've been in the U.S. for over 22 years. It would be fascinating to talk when I'm there. I also am thinking of to do all kinds of shenanigans there because there's a lot of barefoot in Israel is a lot more common because it's warmer. So it's not, you know, most people walk with shoes, but when you don't walk with shoes, it's not that odd. So I'm thinking maybe to do like a barefoot, like no shoes allowed race. You know, stuff like that, like reverse discrimination.
So to like set something up for sure. I'll get in touch with you for sure. I do need to before because there's another show right after ours, and if I go over, the lady gets really, really mad at me. So
yeah, all right. We'll be in touch.
But
thank
yeah, no,
all that you do.
I've lost track of time talking with you again. Like we always seem to do that. It's a good conversation. I look forward to having you on here and talking about this some more here in the near future, for sure.
Absolutely. All right. Well, stay warm and happy holidays.
Same to you. Thank you. All right, folks. That has been Barefoot is Legal Radio, a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to promoting the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. I apologize again for such a quick outro this week, but oops, I did it again. I quit looking at the clock. I'm going to start setting timers, I think, for Saturdays. We will be back next week with a new episode. Stay tuned. Have a good afternoon, guys. Okay, bye, Phoenix.
Bye. Take care and keep living your best barefoot lifestyle.
You know, be kind, help when you can, don't be a jerk. Whoa.